up Miami, beat up Miami, they better go home. Beat up Miami, Buffalo, beat up Miami, Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are hot, the Miami Dolphins are not.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. It's the last time we're going to talk until the Buffalo Bills face the Miami Dolphins in Week 7. The Bills, of course, the opportunity to go to 5-1, 17-point favorites at home against the Miami Dolphins, a game I think everyone's expecting the Bills to win. But I think we have to take this game with a strong dose of some reality, and I'm going to get to some of those thoughts that I have here in just a minute. We'll start off with some leftover thoughts as we do each Friday. Then I'm going to have Banged Up Bills, Dr. Kyle Trimble, on to discuss the Bills injury report going into the game. And then finally, I'll give you predictions in segment three, some game props, as well as what I think the outcome of the football game will be. First things first, how does Miami win this football game, right? We've talked a lot about this team, some of the challenges they have. They're undermanned, don't have a lot of talent. They're not playing well. They're not intending to play well in terms of the roster that's been constructed in terms of winning this year. But if they were to win this football game, how would they do it? What can they do to narrow the gap on the Buffalo Bills this week? And my mind goes to two things that I want to bring to your attention. Not to cast doubt, but just to have some reality about the situation and be respectful of the Bills' opponent that's going to try to beat them on Sunday. Whether or not you think the Bills are going to win the football game, they should win the football game, they should dominate, whatever, there is a football team that's in the way of that happening. They do not want it to happen. And so we have to be mindful of that resistance that is the Miami Dolphins, as weak of an opponent as that may be. First of all, Fitzmagic. Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins instead of Josh Rosen shifts the dynamics of the football game for me. I think it's a tougher game now with Fitz at quarterback. He's a more accomplished quarterback in the NFL. He's been successful with bad talent around him before. Hello, remember those Bills years where, I mean, that offensive line and those receivers, and he found a way to produce. I mean, he's not a dynamic quarterback or an elite quarterback or even a good quarterback. But he has a lot more on his resume that leads you to believe that he can be successful in this football game than what Josh Rosen could have been. Josh Rosen's a lot more raw than I ever anticipated he would be coming out of UCLA. And him against the Bills defense was something I was really excited to see because I thought the Bills were going to pour it on him. And Fitzpatrick steps in, and he's seen a lot more NFL football. He's seen a lot more defenses and schemes, and he's just going to be better equipped for this football game for Miami to have their best chance to win, however small that may be. Fitzpatrick gave this team a spark last week against the Redskins. They were down in the fourth quarter, and they score 13 points. Fitzpatrick comes in 12 of 18, 132 yards and a touchdown, and had them in position to win the game, and they couldn't do it. But he was a lot better than Rosen, who was 15 of 25 for 85 yards and two picks. And it's a tougher team to stop when Fitzpatrick's the quarterback. I really believe that. How about this? The last two games that Fitzpatrick started against the Bills, dating back to 2016 with the Jets, Fitzpatrick beat the Bills both times, and the Jets offense scored 30 points on both occasions. I know it's a different Bills team then. It's a different Fitzpatrick situation now, right? It's that stuff is something to keep in mind, but he came in in week two of 2016 against the Bills, he was 24 of 34 for 374 yards and a touchdown, did not throw an interception, was only sacked once, had five rushes for 21 yards. Very effective game. He had a quarterback rating in that game of 116.5. Then in week 17, the Jets with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback beat the Bills 30-10, and Fitz was 20 of 30 for 210 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, got sacked once, and won the football game by 20 points. So Fitzpatrick is a little bit hot, if you will, when it comes to playing against the Bills. Again, I do completely understand that it's a different Bills team then. It's a different Fitzpatrick scenario right now. But if you don't think Fitzpatrick's capable of going in and having a good game, then you're not been paying attention to Ryan Fitzpatrick's career. He has some of the worst performances you've ever seen at quarterback, but he's also been able to, in certain moments, sprinkle that Fitzmagic dust and go out there and really light it up. Now, the Bills have a tremendous defense. It's going to be really hard for him to do that. He has really bad talent around him, but at least you can say he's done it before. You can never say that Rosen's ever done anything like that. And he's a young player that would really, I just think he would struggle big time against the Bills defense. And I think Brian Flores recognized that and made the decision to go with Fitz. I think it's a tougher game with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Fitzmagic is absolutely a real thing. You saw it with Tampa Bay. You've seen it everywhere that Fitz has been. And when the Fitzmagic wears off, it's bad. It's really bad. But I think maybe we saw a little bit of Fitzmagic last week for Miami. And who knows? That's what I'm saying, is who knows? I would feel very confident in shutting down Rosen, a Rosen-led Dolphins offense this week. I have less confidence about shutting down a Fitzpatrick-led Miami offense. And maybe that confidence goes from, you know, if 10 is perfect confidence, maybe it goes from a 10 with Rosen to an 8.5 with the Fitz. But I am here to tell you that I think there's a margin there. There's a decline in my confidence level, and it's still a high level of confidence, but there's a decrease. It's a tougher game. That's what I keep going back to. This is a tougher game with Fitz at quarterback than Josh Rosen. Number two, thinking of neutralizers, things that could be true for the Dolphins that would help them narrow the gap against the Bills, the team that's better than them, a team that is favored to win by 3 scores, all those types of things, is Brian Flores, their head coach. He was with Belichick for 15 years. He's been part of a blueprint and of a defensive game plan against Josh Allen, against Brian Daboll. They know each other very well. And so I think that there's something to be said for Flores and his resume with the Patriots in terms of coming up with really good game plans and finding ways to get players that don't produce in any other situation, but find the right niche for them that week for them to shine and really make plays. You saw that countless times with New England, and maybe that happens for the Dolphins this week. And there's some challenges defensively that Miami presents that maybe the Bills aren't quite ready to respond to. Not predicting it or anything like that. I'm just trying to be level-headed here and be mindful of the resistance that could come in the form of the Miami Dolphins, and two things come to mind: Fitzmagic and then Brian Flores, and the fact that he's game planned with Bill Belichick against Josh Allen, against the Bills offense, and of course Brian Daboll multiple times. They know each other very well. So I just feel like it's important to kind of talk about some of those factors that aren't just reasons why the Bills are going to steamroll the Dolphins. I gave you a half an hour worth of that yesterday. I gave you a deep dive on this Dolphins team and told you exactly how the Bills can exploit a football team that they're way better than. Well, now the practical application has to happen. And my mind here in the beginning of this show today, I wanted to get some thoughts off my chest about why things may not go quite as swimmingly as everyone anticipates they will. Do you ever find yourself wishing you can make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? At MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, the start of the NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sidelines and get into the action. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your teams this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, I'm joined now by Kyle Trimble, the doctor of physical therapy. He runs Banged Up Bills. You can follow him on Twitter at Banged Up Bills. The website is bangedupbills.com. He's the guy that can talk about injuries. I'm not the guy qualified. Thanks for joining me, Kyle. And it looks like we have some encouraging things here, like pretty healthy team here coming out of the bye.
Thanks for having me on again, Joe. And absolutely, this has been a much more relaxing week on my end to see this kind of progress from the team so far.
Well, let's get into some of the specifics, and let's start with a couple of linebackers here. Corey Thompson limited this week. Obviously, he had his surgery, and also Matt Milano limited with his hamstring that was injured against Tennessee. What do you know about these two situations?
They're out there practicing. I saw a video from Matt Parrino yesterday that had them running through tackling drills. They weren't going full bore against other players, but they were hitting the pads, and both were running very well. You could see that Milano wasn't going 100%, though that's not the whole purpose of those drills. They want to make sure they're hitting properly and make sure that they are using sound technique. As for Thompson, I couldn't tell which side he had surgery on. I had thought the right only because it looked like, based on the camera angle, that maybe he had a little more bulk on the right side, but that's just a guess and not a certainty. They both looked very good. I don't know about their availability on Sunday, though. Milano, we've seen the team manages the hamstrings very conservatively, and he's had a history of them before. Like I said before, they're not related from what I believe. However, I don't see them rushing him back unless he really is truly ready. As for Thompson, I think he has to get more into game shape. Now, whether they activate him on game day and only use him in special teams for specific instances, that could be a possibility. But until they're ruled either not questionable or they're ruled into play, I still don't think they're going to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there in that the Bills have a history now this season of being very slow and cautious with hamstrings, and maybe they won't rush Milano back if they think there's any chance that he might, you know, further hurt the injury or, you know, delay his recovery. Obviously, they're going to want him for the Eagles game next week. A name that's a little bit concerning that's on the list is John Brown, wide receiver, a groin injury. He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday, and Coach McDermott on the Wednesday press conference before practice did not mention anything about Brown's groin injury, and leads me to believe maybe something happened during the day on Wednesday, and, you know, the Bills' number one receiver, we don't want to be without him. What do you know?
I know pretty much as you know in regards to the details there. They didn't announce anything before practice on Wednesday. He was limited, which means he missed some type of reps. We don't know what drills or when this occurred or anything else with that, but he wasn't available for practice after Wednesday. But video, from what I did see, it looks like he was moving around pretty good today. So whether he tweaked something, we don't know the exact details of everything. We did know that he was limited likely due to the weather. We never want to see them try to go full bore in this kind of weather with the rain and everything else that's going on up here in Orchard Park, Buffalo area. So there's a chance he could play. Until we get more information on what exactly he did, it's just going to come down to it might be a game time decision. The reason the groin is such an issue is because it's so vital to the running, the cutting, the pivoting, jumping. You can't do really any football-related activities without that motion. And you need both concentric motion, which is where the muscle shortening, and the eccentric motion is where the muscle's lengthening under tension. So in order to do all the football-related activities, you need to have that functioning properly. And that's why, like hamstrings, groins can be tricky because you can be moving along just fine and then have that re-injury again if you try to rush back too quickly. This is why we're seeing Robert Foster take his time to come back as well.
Now, we've already touched on all the guys that are even listed as limited on the Thursday injury report, but I still think there's some stuff to get into, specifically Tyan Seki, who he did not participate on Wednesday, and they put down rest as a reason. But, you know, the more we kind of get into this rotation at right tackle between Cody Ford and Tyan Seki and how it doesn't make sense for a lot of people, more and more seems to be coming out about potentially Tyan Seki having some injuries that he's working through and that he really can't play a full game right now. What do you know about this Tyan Seki and potential injuries that are factoring into this rotation?
Well, he had back-to-back ankle injuries in week 3 and week 4. He got bull rushed during the Bengals game. You can see him getting evaluated by the training staff, but he's able to continue playing. Week 4, he went down for routine play and he was stepped on by, unfortunately, Deion Dawkins. The mechanism itself mimicked a high ankle sprain with how he was stepped on, but I believe it might be more of a contusion. This is supported by he was able to practice in full today. He had the week off, and he was just had his veteran rest day, which isn't surprising for someone his age and how they've been using rest days with the training week. So I'm sure there's other stuff lingering. I have to go back and look at my notes, but he's had some other stuff here and there. He had the knee tweak, I believe, in the preseason. But considering he's older and the type of work he does on the offensive line, it's definitely becoming apparent that he just can't get through the full game. Not saying he can't be a great rotational piece. We've seen that with some of the other people like Kevin Johnson on the defense. Lorenzo Alexander, he's in most of the plays, but you see he's still rotated in here and there. So it's not concerning that he's a rotational piece, but you got to hope that is he going to just be a true backup to Cody Ford as he develops, or they can continue this charade of rotating him in and out and not necessarily stunting Cody Ford's growth, but definitely throwing a wrench into how he is progressing.
Kyle, the last thing I want to get into here is some of the names that were prominent discussions before the bye, and on the other side of the bye, there are no longer discussions. I'm thinking about guys like Robert Foster, Taron Johnson, Tyler Croft, you know, even Devin Singletary, and then some of the guys that got injured against Tennessee that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, and Morse and Murphy and Josh Allen with his right hand. Clean up for us any thoughts that you have left over on those situations.
All right. All those names sound really good. The only ones I'm not nuts about is Foster. I still think he might be dealing with something, but he appears to be practicing in full and doing okay. Morse, Johnson, Singletary, all those guys, they should be able to go. If Johnson, Singletary can't go, then I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I mean, they've had more than enough time to go. I thought maybe Johnson had a setback at some point briefly that he was able to play for the Patriots game, and then that might have led into the Titans game. But those guys should all be ready. Morris, I thought, just had a contusion from like a leg whip type injury. Everybody else on there, I really have no concerns of four. I don't know that Murphy and who is the other, Ford, have been cleared for the concussion protocol. But considering they're practicing in full, it sounds like they just need to have that consultation performed, which it sounds like they usually do Saturdays. So everybody's looking good. Everybody should be able to play. Croft is another one. He looked awesome in film. He was pivoting on that left foot great. We know the right foot is healed up by now due to the timeline given. So barring any crazy freak accidents, which sometimes we hear about, he should be able to play. So Foster, I'm still a little hesitant on. He might get introduced in packages. And then I know Josh Allen has been listed on the injury report with the hand. I didn't have a chance to bring that up last podcast since we had the bye week, but he got injured while throwing the interception. His left hand hit the shoulder pad of Landry, but he isn't really in his left hand to do what he does. As long as he can still take a snap, he's good to go. But I've had some questions on that, which I wanted to clear that up on today's pod. So cleaning everything else up, I can't think of anything else that would be limiting guys, but Sunday should really give us a full clear picture once the inactives are released.
Yeah, and I guess for once there's some mystery with the inactives because the Bills are just about as healthy as they've been all season, it certainly appears. You guys have been listening to Kyle Trimble, Doctor of Physical Therapy. He runs Banged Up Bills. You can follow him on Twitter at Banged Up Bills. The website is bangedupbills.com. Kyle, thanks for coming on and dropping the wisdom for us, and we'll talk again next Friday.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Anytime.
As always, I appreciate my conversation with Kyle Trimble and Banged Up Bills and getting an expert's take on the Bills' injury situation, and that's great insight, and we're very thankful that he gives us that wisdom each Friday here on the podcast. It's time to close the week out with some predictions, and as usual, I have five of them for you. And if I sobered you up a little bit in segment one, I'm sorry, but maybe you'll like what I have to say here in segment three a little bit better. I just want to give you guys a dose of reality here. All right, first things first, my first prediction for this football game is the Bills secure at least two takeaways, maybe more. I mean, whether it's Fitzpatrick throwing interceptions, fumbles, if Rosen gets in the game, the Bills are going to find some ways here to get takeaways and, you know, interceptions, force fumbles, those types of things. I think you'll see the Bills get at least two in this football game. And, you know, if the Bills get a lead and it puts the Dolphins in more of a desperation type situation, you know, you could see some very errant throws from some pretty bad quarterbacks. Number two, ready for this? This is a big one. Josh Allen gets his first 300-yard passing game in the NFL. Looking forward to that because everyone talks about it so much. Like, it's some type of, like, key thing that measures how good a quarterback is that they can throw for 300 yards in a game. Well, I mean, there's been so many reasons why it hasn't happened to this point. None of them are indicators of whether or not Josh Allen's going to be a you know, a legit franchise quarterback for a long time. You go back to his days at Wyoming, he only had two 300-yard passing games in his entire career, 25 starts. Once was a triple over game against UNLV. The other was in week two of 2017 against Gardner-Webb. And, you know, he's never been a big volume passer that, you know, just has a ton of production in the passing game. And I think it'll be important. It'll be an important box to check for people so that people, you can't talk about it anymore. And I guess that's what I'm most looking forward to. I want that 300-yard game to happen just so that it's no longer a major talking point. I get it. You know, Case Keenum wakes up on Sundays and throws for 300 yards. Kyler Murray's done it a couple times. Daniel Jones has done it. It doesn't mean anything. I think that's the case in point. Case Keenum has multiple 300-yard games on his resume. Is he a good quarterback? No. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I think he gets it against the Miami Dolphins this week, and we can talk about Josh Allen having his first 300-yard game. Next one, number three, my third prediction for this game. Josh Allen does not get sacked. I don't think he gets sacked in this football game. I think that happened twice last year. He's had a couple games this year where he was only sacked once. He's had a couple games where he was sacked like four times. But I think this is one of those games where Josh Allen's going to really be focused on getting the ball out of his hands quick, taking some good shots down the field. And I don't know. I feel good about the Bills' offensive line being able to protect against a very weak Dolphins pass rush. And I think that Josh Allen stays upright and doesn't get sacked against the Dolphins this week. My next prediction, my fourth prediction, is that the Bills have a 100-yard performer at receiver or running back this week. I think either Frank Gore or maybe Devin Singletary gets 100 yards rushing, or the Bills have a 100-yard receiver. That could be John Brown. It could be Cole Beasley. One of those guys will get 100 yards. You know, Xavier Howard, I talked about it yesterday. I know he's a big-time cornerback in this league, but he's not played this well this year. He's given up a lot. I think there's some chances for John Brown to get behind him. And, you know, same thing if Eric Rowe is really going to be asked to cover John Brown as well. I think that's a matchup where the Bills just have a much better athlete at the position. And so I can see there being some problems there and John Brown, Cole Beasley, somebody getting 100 yards. And anxious to see what Duke Williams does in this game, you know, now that he's part of this offense, right? If he's anything like what he was in Tennessee, he's going to play a lot. And if they play him in the slot, that's going to create some matchup problems for Miami because, you know, right now Jamal Wiltz is their slot corner, and that's not somebody that's going to be able to match up with Duke. And so does he get, you know, some of those linebackers? Does he get some one-on-ones with Jerome Baker? Do they bring Rashad Jones or Bobby McCain down to play on him? So I think there's a lot of matchup problems that the Bills receivers, whether it's a big physical guy like Duke, whether it's speed from John Brown, whether it's route running for Cole Beasley, I think that the Bills will find a way to get some big production in the passing game. Maybe it's Robert Foster. I don't know. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here for the Bills to really find some big plays offensively this week, which is something I think we need to see. And I think once it starts to happen, it'll be a little bit more normal and there won't be this pressure to hit big plays, especially with, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles next week. So I think this is the week we see some big plays, and those big plays lead to a 100-yard receiver or running back. All right, last one. My last prediction, did the Bills win? Did they beat the Miami Dolphins? Yes, they beat the Miami Dolphins. The Bills win this football game. They're at home. They're coming off of a bye. They're a focused football team. And I don't expect the Bills to have a letdown. I think for a lot of the reasons I talked about the Bills going and beating Tennessee in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and I talked about this is a Sean McDermott game. This is the type of game where I know that he understands the scenario in terms of you don't want to have back-to-back losses going into a bye week. You need to capture some momentum here and have some good positive vibes entering into the time off. And the team was focused. They found a way to win the football game, and they didn't stack together losses. I think it's the same thing. I think Sean McDermott's probably preached a pretty good sermon this week about respecting the Miami Dolphins, preparing, treating it like it's any other week, not taking anything for granted, all those types of things. And I think you'll see a focused football team that handles their business. I'm not going to predict that they cover the spread or anything like that, but this is a team that's not going to avoid. I don't think they're going to have a letdown this week. And the reason I believe that is Sean McDermott. I really mean it. I think the culture stuff, the philosophy, the respect for your opponent stuff that he preaches, these are the types of moments where that really, really, really shows up. And I thought a good example of that was against the Titans going into the bye. So I think coming out of the bye, Sean McDermott will have this team ready to play. They'll be focused on this opponent, and he will certainly have drilled into the locker room the implications of this game and how important it is to get this. And if they want to achieve all they want to achieve this year, they got to have this one. And I think that the Bills will be focused and ready to claim a W. That's going to do it for this podcast. And of course, this week on the podcast, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you're ready for the Miami Dolphins enjoy the football game on Sunday. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. If you like what's going on, 5-star rating, a couple sentences in the review box on iTunes is greatly appreciated. If you want to retweet the podcast on Twitter, that's great as well. I always appreciate those things as well. Looking forward to Sunday. Looking forward to talking to you about this football game on Monday. Until then, thanks so much for listening.